Wisdom is key. Wisdom is key. And I got three points for y'all. Want me to hold up? All right. First point is recognize and take heed to wisdom. That's the first point. Recognize and take heed to wisdom. Second point is, what does your fruit say about you? What does your fruit say about you? And the third point is, whose team are you playing for? Say a quick prayer real quick. Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for this opportunity to just come and bring your word to your people, Lord. I've studied and I've read your word, and I've definitely toiled. So, Lord, just help me to bring back to remembrance everything that I've studied, and help me to say what you need me to say. Move me out the way, and you have your way. In your name I pray. Amen. Okay. Proverbs 19:8. So you heard it earlier, but I'm just going to read it again. He who gets wisdom loves his own soul. He who keeps understanding will find good. And in the commentary, it says, ultimately, to find good means to find the Lord in his word. So right there, if you're not digging in his word, or if you're not trying to find God in his word, then you're not going to find God, and you're not going to find good. And these things are what we need for our life. So I looked up the definition of the word wisdom, and wisdom is the quality of having experience, knowledge, and good judgment, or the soundness of an action or decision with regard to the application of such experience. The operative word there is application. You say application? Thank you. All right. Everybody up. Cool. With regard to the application of such experience, knowledge, and good judgment. So the actual key to having wisdom is you gain knowledge, and when you use it, then it becomes wisdom. You have knowledge, but knowledge not applied is not wisdom. Wisdom is not age specific. It can be given or accepted by anyone. Once it's given, it's like a seed that actually grows. You know, there's times I give knowledge or a little wisdom to guys that's older than me or guys that's younger than me, tell me certain things. So it's not really age specific. And in order for you to gain wisdom and to gain knowledge throughout life, you have to move pride out of the way, because you know, pride can have you thinking that you know everything, that you know everything that you need to know. Like, nah, I know that, I'm cool, yo, don't tell me nothing. Like, and you can't grow like that, especially spiritually. So I said, once it's given, it's like a seed that whoever instilled that knowledge, they have invested it into you. And I'm going to go to 1 Kings 2, 1 through 4. You could follow me if you want to, or not. Or not. I'm going to read it anyway. All right, this is 1 Kings 2, 1 through 4. This is David talking to Solomon. Basically, David is telling his son Solomon, he's like, listen, man, I'm about to check. All right, I'm about to I'm going to die soon, all right? You're going to take over the throne. These are the things that you need to do to keep the line going. So he's instilling wisdom. And this is very important, because David is Solomon's father. And as his father, he has the responsibility to instill wisdom into his son to move into blessings. Like, you know, without David telling Solomon what he needed to do, he would have never ended up asking God for his wisdom, which is why we're talking about Solomon today. I started off in Proverbs. Solomon didn't write all the Proverbs, but he did write a lot of them. And he's known for his wisdom, so that's why we're using him as an example. All right. Now the days of David drew near that he should die. And this is New King James. And he charged Solomon and his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be strong, therefore, and prove yourself a man. and keep the charge of the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, his commandments, his judgments, and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that you may prosper in all that you do and wherever you turn, that the Lord may fulfill his word which he spoke concerning me, saying, if your sons take heed to their way, to walk before me in truth with all their heart and with all their soul, he said, you shall not lack a man on the throne of Israel. So this is David repeating to Solomon exactly what God told him. He's like, look, this is our promise. As long as we do what it is that God is telling me to do, and I'm telling you to do it, then we're always going to have the throne. So we're always going to be in the position to be blessed. David having a heart after God instills knowledge and wisdom into his son Solomon. This wisdom was very important for Solomon's life, as we soon find out. Then I'm going to go over to 1 Kings 3 and 3. Follow me over there too. All right. So it says, and Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of his father David, except that he sacrificed and burned incense at the high places. So that last part, Solomon hadn't yet built the temple, so that's why they were sacrificing in high places. Amen. But the first part, he loved the Lord, and he walked in the statutes of his father David. So this is Solomon already being wise, because he's like, okay, my dad's kicking some knowledge to me. Maybe I should apply it. Maybe you should what? Apply it. This is how he reaches blessings. In verse 4, we see that Solomon's walk actually forced God's hand. His actions and his application of the wisdom actually forced God to say, what do you need from me? This is not Solomon asking God for something. God came to Solomon and said, yo, what can I do for you? Because you're blessing me through your actions. So, his wisdom led him into a blessing. So this is verse 4. Now the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask, what shall I give you? So that right there is proof. When we take knowledge and we apply it to our lives, it becomes wisdom, and God has to he has to respond to that. There's no way that we can honor God through our walk and in using wisdom, and he will not honor that. And Solomon was actually even wise enough before he asked for wisdom to ask for wisdom. He could ask for anything. Like, I want $100 million. I want a Bugatti. I want to wake up in a Bugatti. No. He said, you know, I want to be able to rule justly in any situation. And, you know, that encompasses wisdom. So I have a couple different analogies and different situations. So, you know, just bear with me. But an example from my life, having knowledge and having to turn it into wisdom. This was back when I was down in Orlando. I was living alone in my apartment, and I forget if it was like late night or like I don't know, early morning. So I woke up and I knew I was up. My eyes was open, but I couldn't sit up. I was like, what the heck is this? What's going on? Couldn't sit up. I tried to sit up again. I said, whoa. Tried to sit up one more time, and something was pushing down on my chest real hard. I was like, all right, I'm pretty sure I know what this is. I was like, all right, I'm on the spiritual attack. So I'm like, all right, what do I do? So knowledge kicks in. Now, if I don't use knowledge, then it goes to the waste. But knowledge applied is wisdom. Knowledge is wisdom, right? So this, you know, and I feel like this knowledge, you know, mess around in it, it might have saved my life. Who knows? You know, who knows what, you know, those spirits can do to you. So I was laying on my couch, and I really couldn't sit up. And so I was like, all right, man, I got to pray. So I go to open my mouth to pray. I couldn't open my mouth. I was like, yo, I can't even talk. This thing ain't letting me talk. I'm hearing all this no, all this crazy noise in my ear. I'm like, all right, man, all right, look. I'm gonna pray my spirit. So it's more knowledge, right? So, and I'm applying it because I'm scared. I'm like, yo, Lord, you know what I mean? it ain't even like, I want to apply this. No, I'm like, oh, what do I, you know what I do? So I'm praying in my head, like, oh my God, Jesus, please. So I'm praying hard. I'm saying, in the name of Jesus, pleading the blood, everything, anything I can say in my head to free myself up. So now I finally get my mouth loose, and I sit up and I was like, Jesus, and the thing just like flew away, right? Took it away. That situation right there, first of all, it showed me firsthand the power of the name of Jesus, because I didn't really know. Until that happened, and I needed something like that to happen for me to be able to tell people, like, yo, the power of the name of Jesus is real. It's real. Let me tell you. I can tell you how. You want to know? I can tell you. So that situation actually allowed me to instill knowledge into other people, because people have those type of situations all the time, you know, and it could be they're dealing with spirits or you know, like evil spirits or demons or anything. You know, they might be in their house flicking their lights on and off or something like that. They might really be messing with them. And I'm able to tell a couple of different people. You know, they just happen to come to me and be like, you know, I had these crazy dreams or this and that, da 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 da. And I'm like, well, you know, this is what you need to do. You know, I got people telling me stuff like, you know, something comes and presses down on their bed, or they see a figure at the end. I'm like, that's what you need to do. I was like, you gotta be confident, and you gotta be confident in the name of Jesus, and be powerful with his name. There's no where your power comes from. And without that situation, I wouldn't be able to tell them that. And I said all that to say that I gained knowledge from that. And that goes back to the actual definition of wisdom, is to, instill into other people. So let's just flip on over to the next point now. What does your fruit say about you? Now, remember I said that instilling knowledge and talking about wisdom instilling wisdom into another person is like planting a seed in them. And I'm real visual sometimes. So when I think of a Christian, I mean, even though the Bible uses this as an example, I think of a Christian as a tree. Like when people find out that you're a Christian or you go to church, you're automatically put on a pedestal. Like they're going to look at you, you know, to be like, all right, you know, what is he doing that's different from what we're doing? Like if he like what's this guy's stuff about? So I picture us, you know, as a tree, and you know, people are just walking around, and you know, they walk by and then they look us up and down and see what's going on. So your fruits, right? Matthew 7, 15 and 20. Well, I ain't marked that, I gotta find it myself. Everybody had it? Okay. So this is Jesus talking right here. He says, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them." Now, one part of that scripture that really woke me up was, every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Like, I don't want to be, because I'm already picturing myself as a tree. I'm like, I don't want to be cut down and thrown into the fire. That's not going to be me. So, we have to make sure that our fruit is representative of who God is in our lives. We can't go like, you know, we can't go through life, you know, living how we want to live and then expect our fruits to be good or expect our tree to be plentiful or, you know, expect to cast nice shade. You know, we can't expect those things to be good. So God has planted and poured wisdom into us continually, whether it be through the preached word, through the Bible, or through the Holy Spirit. It's our job to apply the wisdom. Either we apply it or ignore it. There's no in between. We have the knowledge. We either apply it and turn it into wisdom, or we ignore it. There's no in between. So I got an example. When you think about you like, yo, are you, man, I need some lotion. Okay. Hey, what you want? Nivea? You want? We got it. Use some lotion. And you standing with the bottle in your hand. Why? You still ashy? Why are you not using the lotion? I'm gonna look at you and be like, yo, apply the lotion. Apply it. You're like, huh? What you mean? Apply the lotion. You got the lotion in your hand. You got the remedy. You already have what you need. You have to apply it. You got a what? Or you're gonna be ashy. You're gonna have ashy spots in your life. You're gonna have ashy spots in your relationship. You're gonna have ashy spots in your relationship with God. Apply it, man. Apply the lotion, y'all. Right. Too much air. When we choose to ignore the knowledge, and when we choose not to apply it to our lives, we become negative examples and we misrepresent God. If you ever get to a point where you don't care about misrepresenting God, there needs to be a Holy Spirit check. And this is Romans 8:9-13. I should have warned y'all I was going to be doing all this jumping around. Did I mark the wrong thing? Okay, there we go. I got it? All right. It says, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, I read that wrong. Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. So this is telling us that if your Holy Spirit, because the job of the Holy Spirit is for us to be able to communicate back and forth with God, and it's our rudder, you know, like a rudder on a boat, you know, it leads us through our life and it tells us when we're going wrong, we're going right. You could say it's your conscience, it's your Holy Spirit. If you're not tapping into that, or you don't care about what the Holy Spirit is saying to you, then you really don't have the Holy Spirit. And right here it says, you're not his.
Well,
so this scripture really messed me up. I was like, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. That's deep. If you're going through life and you feel as though, you know, you can just do whatever you want right in the face of God and still say that, you know, and still say that you're a Christian, then something's wrong, basically. Something's wrong. Because Nothing is telling you. Nothing is telling you that you're wrong, and nothing is telling you the right way to go, or nothing. You just living the way you want to live, and apparently you're not his. You don't even belong to who you say you belong to. All right. The third point is, whose team are you playing for? Now, in the scripture before, Jesus was talking about false prophets speaking in the name of God. And I look at that now as them back then speaking in the name of God. Our lives are our witness today. So we're living in the name of God. And therefore, that's what the world should see. So when we live out, when we live outside of the will of God, with no remorse, you don't care, like, you know, I'm just do what I want to do, and, you know, God, whatever. That's just as bad as them blaspheming, because our lives are, our lives are our testimony. Our lives are our lives are the fruit. Our lives are the most important part of our witness. We can't say one thing to somebody and be like, oh, yeah, you know, I go to church and you know God. And I'm like, yeah, but you right here with me, like, every Thursday, Friday, Saturday night. You with me, what you talking about? And so I had to start viewing that just as bad as false prophets. Because I feel like, well, I know I was doing it. We have a way of sugarcoating things to try and basically get rid of these inconvenient truths that are in the Bible. It's real inconvenient, because you never want to stop what you're doing. Like, man, I like this, man, I'm gonna keep doing this, and you don't want to stop, and you have to realize that, you know, we're in covenant with God. You know, this is supposed to be a holy relationship. So you have to respect it. And that's what I went through. This is back down in Orlando. This is right before the spiritual attack. So I'm young. I'm like, man, I'm going away, I'm in college, man, I'm on an apartment, man, look, man. Right. I was like, man, look. Right? I got the man look on, like, I got that on. So I was doing cool. Me and my homie Germ, he's playing drums. I was playing keys. We was playing for this church. We played there for like a year or some change. Everything was cool, you know. I was looking at myself. I was like, all right, you know, I was examining myself. I was like, cool, man, you know. I got a couple homies coming through church and asking me about God. Cool. All right, you know, I never been one to be like, yeah, I'm holy, like, but I was like, you know, I feel like I'm doing all right by God, right? So, stop playing at the church. And then I turned into, I stopped going to church.
Come on down.
And then what happened was, the devil slipped right in. He was like, all right, cool. He was like, all right, you know, good looking young boy, man. How about, I feel like this is him talking to me, like Birdman hand rub. Like, hey, man, you like this. You like this and you like that, cool. So this is me looking back though, but you know, this is me having knowledge but not applying it. So I was basically I feel like he was like, all right, you know, you like the party, cool. Like pretty girls, cool. You like music, cool. So those three things really wrapped me up and took me away from the presence of God. And, you know, so to the point that I really felt it right before that spiritual attack. So I was partying Thursdays, Fridays, Saturday night, and it turned into me going to church like every once in a while, you know, every other week, to me really not going. And you know, my friends, they wasn't concerned about church, you know, because I was the only one that was ever concerned about church anyway. But they're the only one, you know, I was the only witness that they were seeing, right? Saturday, you know, Saturday nights was always late, so, you know, and then on top of that, devil, man, he's so crafty, man. He gave me friends that threw parties. Like, I didn't even have to pay. I didn't have to pay no money. Just walk in, like, you know what's up? Tearing it up, like, right? So, it was a setup from the beginning. And that was me. I saw it. I had the knowledge, but I didn't apply it. I didn't turn it into wisdom. And that's the key. That's the key to the Christian walk. Is we have the knowledge. We're always gaining, whether it be from a message, whether it be from the word, whether it be from the Holy Spirit. But if we don't choose to turn it into wisdom, then we're going to lose. We're going to lose out every time. And that's what happened to me. I got drug away from the presence of God to the point where I really started to feel it. And that's when, you know, I really had to stop. And I, like, literally, I was in my bathroom and I looked in the mirror. I was like, who are you? I really had to look in the mirror and I was like, yo, who are you becoming? Are you a child of God? Like, are you who you say you are?
Yeah.
Or are you fooling yourself? And, you know, you're just lying to yourself and you're showing everybody else who you really are. So I really had to do that self-check. And after that self-check, you know, I really had to repent and I had to recommit. And I had to stop those things that I was, it was hard because you want to keep going. But that's the inconvenient part. It's inconvenient, but, you know, we inconvenienced Jesus. He had to come down here and die for us. So it was kind of inconvenient for us. I think he deserved that. So that spiritual attack came as I told my mom. I called my mom. I was like, you know, I don't know if he was trying to keep me from going to church, because that was the first time I was going to go to church in like a month or some change, maybe 2 months. And I was getting up to go to church. And I guess he was trying to keep me from really going, because, you know, if I didn't have that knowledge and I didn't turn it into wisdom, then I probably would have got scared in that house and be like, I ain't going nowhere, man. I don't know what I'm going to do, you know. But what I want to do is I want to do a little analogy real quick. Let me see who I can use, man. Let me see here. Where Roday at? I'm with Roday. Dominic. Let me see y'all, man. Y'all two tall guys. Two tall guys, man. Let me see. Come on, man. I know you cool. All right, so I need both of y'all to go over there, right over there, stand right in the corner. All right, let's act like we on the court, right? And the clock is the bucket or whatever. All right, me and Roday, we on the same team. Dom, playing defense, right? Get off me! I'm still not playing. If I pass the ball to Roday, I'm expecting him to score for us because we're on the same team, right? We got the same jersey on, right? We got the same name across the front of our jersey. If Roday take off this way and score for the other team, now I'm like, what are you doing? I'm confused. I'm like, yo, why would you take off? Go take off. So now I'm like, what you doing? How many buckets do we score for the devil? Is what I'm saying. How many times? And I'm telling you, it only takes one time for somebody to do that in the crib. Like, everybody's like, yo, you a nut, man. You got to sit down. Like, you can't play for us. But we're thankful to God that He didn't do that to us and say, you a nut, and I ain't playing with y'all no more. You need to sit down. You ain't on my team. How many buckets have we scored for the devil? And that's how I had to look at it myself. Everything that I'm saying to you today, I had to say to myself in that same mirror. I'm like, yo, whose team are you really saying you on? Or whose team are you on? Who gave you life? You know, who promised you eternal life? And that's what I had to do. I'm just go through a couple more scriptures in Proverbs, and then we're going to be done. Because I have been reading through Proverbs, and it convicted me, and then it blessed me. go back. We're going to do Proverbs 15 and 7. And these are just little ones that stuck out to me. 15 and 7 says, "The lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of the fool does not do so." And so these are just a couple that, you know, just really stuck out to me. And I like Proverbs because it's so practical. You know, I was reading it in King James, and it's these and a thousand, and it was still like, don't hang with the fools. Like, what are you doing? Don't hang out. Like, it's real plain, and it's real practical. Proverbs 24, 1 through, let's do 20, yeah, 24, 1 through 7. And this really spoke to me to really convey to the youth and really convey to, you know, young teenagers and everything, because the first line is, "Do not be envious of evil men, nor desire to be with them, for their heart devises violence and their lips talk of troublemaking." And we all know people like that are in the world. And usually, you know, especially when you're young, like, ah, oh, man, church. I mean, like, I don't know how you'll feel, but you can't be envious of what's going on in the world, because that's unhealthy. And, you know, it's going to lead you down a path of destruction and ultimately to death, because that's separation from God. Through wisdom, a house is built, and by understanding, it is established. By knowledge, the rooms are filled. So it's a theme, knowledge, wisdom. By knowledge, the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. A wise man is strong. Yes, a man of knowledge increases strength. For by wise counsel, you will wage your own war. And in a multitude of counselors, there is safety. Wisdom is too lofty for a fool. He does not open his mouth in the gate. So you might be trying to really kick knowledge to somebody, like, you really need to do this, really need to chill with that. Man, I ain't sharing anything. He's a fool. These are fools, man. You can't waste your breath. Like, I think even Proverbs says, don't waste your breath talking to fools. This wisdom is so valuable, man. And I'm learning that. That's why I'm so adamant about it. 24 and then 19 and 20. And it says, "Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the wicked, for there will be no prospect for the evil man. The lamp of the wicked will be put out." So basically what I'm saying is, you know, take heed to knowledge. And kids, really, you know, when your parents are telling you something, you'll really, really listen, because they're giving you guidance for blessings for your life. The same way David talked to Solomon, and Solomon went on ahead and listened to his dad, is the exact way that, you know, he reaches blessings, and that's what we really need to do today. And that's all I got. Take it back.